Welcome to the With Clarity and Purpose podcast with your host, Janet Borrego. Each week, I bring you an inspiring person or message to empower you to live life on your terms so you can be who you want to be, do what you are meant to do, and have the life you deserve to have. We will provide you with practical and cutting-edge approaches to continue getting clarity and direction on your path, mastering your mindset, and gaining confidence to tap into your inner wisdom so you can live on purpose. I often get the question of, how can I regulate or navigate my emotions, the unpleasant feelings that come up during stressful times? Or even like when I'm talking to women, right? Whenever I'm feeling hormonal during that time of the month, how can I regulate my emotions? How can I reconnect back and create this sense of belonging in my mind and my body so I can stay in control? And I wanted to do a podcast episode on this because last week, actually, I faced a very vulnerable and scary and stressful situation. And when I was thinking of this podcast episode, I just wanted to illustrate this with a story that is on the extreme side of the spectrum, but it illustrates the many concepts I want you to truly start applying when you're in stressful situations, because they are gonna really help you to hone into yourself again, even when the outside world feels like chaos. Like to me last week, I mean, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday was pure chaos. Like nothing seems certain. And I'm gonna tell the story so you know what I'm talking about. So as you all know, I'm pregnant. I'll be 17 weeks on Friday, which we are super, super excited about. And 2 weeks ago, 2 weeks and a half ago, actually almost 3 weeks, my right leg started swelling. Just my right leg, not my two legs, just one leg started swelling. And that was a Sunday. And I just waited. I'm like, I don't know, maybe this is normal. Of course, when you Google it, Google tells you that it's not normal, clearly, but I mean, I didn't know better, right? So I decided to wait. And usually when my legs have been swollen in the past because I've traveled or something similar, or in a Tony Robbins event that I went back in 2014, I jumped so much in that event that honestly, my legs started to swell and I'm like, what the heck? But usually over a couple of hours, if I rest, the swelling goes down. So in this case, I was resting my leg and after 2 days, the swelling stayed the same or even worse. And I'm like, okay, I messaged my doula. I have a doula for my pregnancy. And I asked her, should I reach out to a doctor? Like, I don't know what to do. And she's like, yeah, you should. So I call my gynecologist and my gynecologist sends me immediately to ER because she was very concerned of the potential of having a blood clot in my right leg. So I'm like, okay, let's go to ER. We go to ER. We spend 6.5 hours in ER. I don't know if you have ever had the experience with the emergency room, but my God, like it takes so long for every single thing. Like it's not a joke. I mean, it's crazy. So I went to ER, they took blood tests, something that they do if you have the risk of developing a blood clot is basically scanning your leg. It's like a pregnancy ultrasound. They actually use a similar machine, but they are scanning the veins in your legs. And they also scan the arteries in my leg. And it was very painful. It's not supposed to be painful, but I don't know what that lady was doing that I was in so much pain when she was doing that. But anyways, that day, my leg was just swelling. There was no pain other than during that ultrasound. Like everything else was fine and I was feeling fine. And the results came back. Blood work was completely fine, super healthy. They didn't find anything on my veins, on my arteries. Everything seemed fine. But when the doctor sees my leg, he tells me, hey, I'm still very concerned because this doesn't look normal or common at all. So I want you to see a cardiovascular surgeon, a cardiologist, 1 week. No, he told me as soon as possible. But as you know, all these doctors are not available as soon as possible, which is one of the frustrations when, I mean, with the medical system and the availability of all of these doctors. And it was one of the main stressors for me in a time that was very vulnerable. I just didn't feel safe and supported many times in this journey. And I'm going to explain why. But anyways, I'm like, okay, so I go home. I keep going with my life. And then one day after I go to ER, my right leg starts hurting like so much to the point that I could barely walk without my husband's assistance. Like I remember waking up in the middle of the night to go to a restroom and I needed to wake up my husband in order to help me get to the restroom because it was that painful. I couldn't even stand straight. Like if I would try to stand straight, the pain would increase. It was just crazy. And I mean, I called the cardiologist. They give me an appointment from 1 week from that moment that I called, which was the day after going to ER because we left ER at 10:30 p.m. We spent 6.5 hours there. So I'm like, okay, cool. So I'll wait 1 week from now. So 1 week passed. Pain was still intense. Leg was still very swollen. And we go to the doctor appointment last Wednesday. We show up in the doctor and he sees my leg. He's very concerned. And he's like, hey, I didn't have anything else as a plan other than our consultation, but this seems very urgent. So I'm going to see if my team can create space for another leg scan. Now he mentions leg scan and I'm here freaking out because the last leg scan was mega painful. And I'm like, doctor, it's fine. They did that already. They didn't find anything. Like that was so painful. I'm in pain already. I don't want to go through more pain. And he's like, no worries. This technician is very good. And I promise you're not going to feel pain. And I'm like, okay, if you say so, anything to be healthy. So he sends me to the room where they did the scan. And then this guy who has 20 years of experience, he starts scanning my leg. And there is no pain, thankfully. And I'm like, oh my God, thank God, you're amazing. He starts scanning my leg and very calmly, he's like, yep, there is a blood clot here on top. It looks pretty big. And he keeps scanning my leg and he's like, yep, there is another blood clot here. And in my mind, I mean, I know what blood clots are and I know they can be very dangerous if they are not treated on a timely manner. The risk of blood clots is that they can break and part of it can go to your lung or to your heart. And it can have very serious, very damaging consequences to your health. So I'm here listening at this news, trying to not freak out, but I have to admit inside of me, I'm freaking out. I'm also pregnant. I mean, there is so many vulnerable things happening in my life. And then this happens and I'm like, okay, everything is going to be fine. Like, don't freak out right now. I'll probably freak out after I leave this room, but do not freak out. And this guy calls the doctor and the doctor is like, yeah, we need to do something about it. I mean, this is pretty urgent, basically. And I'm so grateful that he acted with urgency. And he even told me, I'm so surprised that ER, the emergency room, didn't follow up with your leg. Because sometimes when there is a blood clot descending, you're not going to see it immediately in your leg. You need to follow up 2 or 3 days after, and then you see it. Like, we are seeing it right now, but this is 1 week after, I mean, 1 week, almost and a half after you experience all of these symptoms. So he was just like, he couldn't believe ER didn't follow up with me. And I didn't know better. So of course, now I know better. And he's like, we need to treat you like as soon as possible. Now, usually, he tells me, usually I don't get clients with blood clots. I usually get clients after they have gone through a blood clot because he's a cardiologist. But let me call a doctor that I know. She's a hematologist, which is like a doctor that deals with everything blood related, including blood clots. And he called his doctor. They ask me for my weight because the medicine that they have to give me is based on my weight. They come up with the doses that I have to give myself. It's actually, I'm giving myself, well, my husband is helping me. Let me clarify that. 2 injections per day. Like every 12 hours, I have to inject myself, or my husband or my mom, they have to inject me with anticoagulants in order to control these blood clots so the body can heal. So he comes back. He's like, hey, I call Walgreens. I send them your prescription and you need to get this treatment like as soon as possible. Call your gynecologist and make sure she's okay with this treatment. I'm pretty sure it's safe for the baby, but I want you to double check with her. And I'm like, okay, yeah, let me call. So I called the gynecologist, and the gynecologist was not in her office that day. And the team of nurses, basically this lady tells me, well, I mean, she's not in the office right now. I don't know if we can reach her. And sorry that I changed my voice, but this is what literally what I heard, like lack of urgency in these words. Okay, yeah, so tomorrow she's going to come to the office and maybe by noon she'll answer your question. And I mean, we are trying to respond here with urgency and this lady is acting like this is nothing. Like I'm pregnant, I have 2 blood clots, one of them seems to be pretty big. Like we got to do something about it ASAP. And I need to get treatment as soon as possible. I want to make sure that my baby and I am going to be okay. So this lady is super chill. And I'm like, I had to respond with urgency, okay? I think my husband was in shock. I was so emotional and I was trying to keep it all together. And I was like, well, yeah, I may call you tomorrow to follow up if I'm still alive. I mean, the first thing in my mind in that moment is I can die. I have this ticking bomb in my leg, which is this blood clot that they can separate at any time. And if that happens, honestly, the consequences can be fatal, to be honest with you. And anyways, this lady, when she heard my urgency and she heard what I was telling her, she acted with urgency. So one of the first lessons here is you have to advocate for yourself in the medical system, in your work, in your relationship, anywhere, because many people naturally, they are in survival mode. They are reacting in their lives and they are basically making decisions based on their interests because they don't know better. So if you don't speak up and you don't advocate for yourself, sometimes people are not going to move. Sometimes people are not going to try to help you. And in this case, I had to be very direct with this lady. Literally like 5 minutes after, 10 minutes after, I think it was 5 minutes, she calls me that she had talked to the doctor. And initially she was telling me, oh, we don't know if I can reach out the doctor. Yeah, of course you can for emergency situations. Like she's a gynecologist. She sees clients that sometimes they have a C-section, they have a natural birth and she has to be in the hospital. There is a way to contact this lady and this is super urgent. So anyways, all of that happened, which added to my stress because that's when I started feeling, honestly, again, I was in this vulnerable situation and I was not being supported by this medical system that also is telling me that this is an urgency. And I'm like, man, this seems like nonsense, right? So I leave the doctor. I'm like, okay, I have treatment. And honestly, I leave the doctor and the first thing I do is like to break down to Cody because to me, there were so many emotions. It was so stressful. There was so much uncertainty. I mean, the fact that I'm pregnant, the fact that ER missed that I had 2 blood clots, which can be very serious. The fact that this doctor had just told me, hey, you have these things in your leg. And by the way, because of one of them, there may be long-term consequences to your leg. And I'm just trying to process all of these. And then the baby and the gynecology situation, I was just overwhelmed, to be honest with you. It was just too much uncertainty in just like less than an hour. So we leave this place at 3 p.m. I had a client later on and I'm like, honestly, I need to distract myself and I need to focus on helping someone else because what can I do in the moment that I'm just waiting? I just don't want to be overthinking, Googling. So I'm like, okay, let me serve a client. That's the only thing I can do for this moment. And I remember with that client, we took like an hour and a half because I don't know, part of me was just so scared to go back to that uncertainty, to be completely vulnerable with you. And so I hung up with this client and Cody tells me, hey, Walgreens called and they cannot fulfill the prescription because the prescription has discrepancies. And I'm like, okay, what does this mean? Like, I need to get treatment today. This was like at 7 p.m. already. And in my mind, I'm like, I cannot sleep knowing that I have this and I'm not getting treatment and it's not being controlled. And anyways, I was very stressed and somehow Cody thought of calling the cardiologist again. And there was an emergency line to their line after office hours. So I called there, I talked to this guy. He wasn't the doctor, it was someone else. And he's like, okay, let me page the doctor. And if you don't hear from us, like from here to 45 minutes, call us again. And I'm like, okay. So I wait 30 minutes and I call them. I'm like, okay, I'm calling again. And this girl is like another person answered. And this girl is like, okay, so yeah, I'm going to page the doctor again. So this doctor, I'm so thankful for this doctor, even though this has been pure chaos. Of all the people I interacted, this doctor is the one that had the urgency, is the one that was responding to me. And anyways, I never leave Google reviews, but I left him a review because I was just so thankful within all of this chaos. So he calls me at 8 p.m. Walgreens closes at 9 p.m. and I'm here freaking out. He calls me at 8 p.m. and he's like, hey, I talked to Walgreens. The discrepancy was that you need like 0.7, but they just have 0.6 or 0.8. Those are the options. So I chose 0.6, which is a lower dose of injections. But tomorrow you have to call the hematologist. I gave you her information because we have to make sure that that dose is still safe for you. And I'm like, okay, there is a little bit of uncertainty. Is it safe for me? But at least I'm getting treatment. So peace of mind. We called Walgreens. Oh yeah, we received your prescription, but we don't have this on stock. And I'm like, are you kidding me? And they are like, we did our research. I mean, thanks to that pharmacist, not everyone would do that. Like, I don't take anything for granted in this process. So I'm very thankful for the people that have taken action and have truly helped me. So the pharmacist like apparently called the Walgreens or checked the database. I don't know what she did. And she found one Walgreens, a 24-hour Walgreens who had those in stock. And I'm like, okay, let's go. So we go to Walgreens. I don't know. They take like an hour to finally give us the medication. And there is a moment that they're like, oh, we don't have this in stock. And I'm like, you have to be kidding me. Anyways, like all of this chaos kept happening. And I'm like, okay, breathe was another lesson. I mean, a lesson that I know already, but there was a moment in this process that I thought I was going to have a panic attack. And I haven't had a panic attack since 2014 when I was mega stressed at my job. But in my mind, like not in my mind, I mean, this is a really dangerous position to be in. And I'm here trying to, okay, I'm going to leave. Like I'm not ready to die. All of these things. And my husband was reminding me over and over to breathe. And I was just breathing so deeply, trying to focus on that and trying to control that breath. Because, I mean, I didn't get my first injection until 10:30 p.m. This doctor appointment was at 2:30 p.m. I didn't get my first treatment until 10:30 p.m. And in between, I mean, you heard me tell the story, in between was just chaos, crazy uncertainty, so many things that I was so scared for. And I had never, I think this last week, to be completely honest with you, was the time in my life that I've been the most scared for my life. I mean, the most scared at the deepest level. So it was a really intense and stressful moment for me. So we get the injections and I'm like, okay, I need to call the hematologist tomorrow. I mean, the story doesn't end here, okay? This was just Wednesday. On Thursday, I'm calling this hematologist over and over and over. And I leave messages. There is a voicemail that they say they are going to get back to me within 24 hours. And I'm like, okay. I mean, I call like 3 or 4 times. I left a message with people and in the voicemail like 3 or 4 times. I'm still waiting for them to call back. That's how frustrating this has been. But I realized they are not calling me back. I was trying to set an appointment with her too. So I was trying to do two things at the same time, and I was not getting traction with any of these things. So Thursday, I'm still like, okay, so it's 3 p.m. I think it was Thursday. I think it was Thursday or something. Yeah, 3 p.m. or 4 p.m. And I'm like, okay, I cannot get a hold of this hematologist. I'm going to call my hero, the cardiologist, again. And I'm going to ask them, I'm going to tell them the hematologist is not answering. You guys told me this is urgent. I'm trying to get the proper treatment. And it's just been impossible right now for me. So can you please help me? They immediately helped me and they sent another prescription to Walgreens with the 0.8. If you remember, there were two options, 0.6 or 0.8. Now they went with the 0.8. But they told me, you need 0.7, not 0.8. You cannot inject extra to yourself. So your husband or whoever is injecting you, it has to drain part of it and then inject you the right dose. And I'm like, okay, whatever. I'm sure there is a YouTube video explaining this. Like, I don't care. I just need the right treatment for me to feel safe. So they sent it to Walgreens. Thankfully, Walgreens had like 5 days of injections in stock. We pick it up. And then that was Thursday. On Monday, we picked up the last 25 because, I mean, these injections will go on probably at minimum during the whole pregnancy. So it's going to go on for months. So I need tons of these injections. So yeah, we get that. And then I finally on Friday, I promise this story is ending soon. I just need to tell you all the details so you can really get into the stressful situation that this was. And I'm going to talk about the lessons learned and how I was able to regulate my emotions the best I could, because there is no way, there is no perfection in this process. So we are always going to do the best we can with the resources that we have at that moment. So I want you to also practice self-compassion with yourself whenever you're going through stressful situations. But let's finish this story. So that was Thursday. Friday, I finally get a hold of these people to schedule an appointment with the hematologist. Now, get ready for this. The only appointment that the hematologist had available was on February 28th at the same time where I had my anatomy scan with my gynecologist. Now, this gynecologist, I mean, the lady was like, call your gynecologist and reschedule. And I'm like, you don't understand. Like, this gynecologist is not available for 4 or 5 more weeks, probably. So I'm like, okay, I'll take it. The hematologist right now is a priority because it has to be with my life and with my baby because I have to live for my baby. Like, all of it is interrelated. So I'm like, okay, I call the hematologist. We finalize that finally. And I'm like, oh my God, thank God. But Friday, I was a mess emotionally. I was like, there was so much in just like 2 days that I needed to integrate all the survival mode of these last 3 days. So I call my gynecologist, try to reschedule. And she tells me, yeah, we don't have appointments until March 18th. And I'm like, my last appointment on February 28th was 5 weeks ago. You want me to wait 4 more weeks? So the gynecologist is not going to see me in almost 2 months. And in my mind, I'm like, pregnancy is 9 months. You're not going to see me what is going on? And the mistake I made that I didn't give her background information before, I should have said, hey, this week they found 2 blood clots in my right leg. I'm super scared, super nervous. It took me a while to schedule this hematologist appointment. And when I got it, the only time they had available was this. Can you please help me? Because I just asked to reschedule the appointment. So probably in her mind, there was no urgency. But I'm here kind of like super emotional, trying to get all of these appointments. And then this lady is like March 18th. I'm going to be honest with you. At that moment, I just broke down in front of her. I mean, we were on the phone, but I just broke down and I was like, you don't understand. Like there were two. Anyway, I was telling her all this story. Well, I was crying. I just couldn't contain myself. I think I felt so powerless during the last 2-3 days trying to get everything in order that I just didn't know what else to do. It was just such a scary situation. So she hears me crying and she's like, oh my God, okay, so calm down, your baby's still there. I mean, she was so nice after she knew the situation, to be honest with you. And she was like, okay, so I found an appointment that same day at 11 a.m. So it's not at 2 p.m., it's 11 a.m. for your anatomy scan. And I'm like, thank you so, so much. So again, one, I mean, so many lessons here, but one, it's so important to describe, and this applies to everything, relationships, career, medical system, the craziness of the medical system, to give background information and inform of the urgency before you ask for the request, which I missed that second time. The first time I talked to a gynecologist, I did mention the urgency, but they were like somewhere else in their mind. But the second time I missed that completely. And honestly, I was just so emotional that I couldn't think straight. Like she was asking me, who is your primary doctor? Who is your, like she was, no, she was asking me questions and I couldn't access my memory. I was that emotional and that nervous. It was just a roller coaster of emotions. I mean, this week, clearly, I feel so much better now that I have this treatment, now that I have my appointment scheduled. I feel just like back on track. So she helped me again now that she knew the urgency. And again, I had to advocate for myself and really kind of like push the boundaries of what I was told it was possible. And that helped me, right? Because they understood, okay, this is super urgent. We got to do something about it. But sometimes people are not going to understand the urgency. One, unless we communicate it. And sometimes we got to communicate it with emotion because, I mean, to be fair, right? I'm sure they receive so many requests of people saying a million things. And I don't know, maybe they become just insensitized. I don't know if I said that well. But they become maybe neutral to all of these things. But I think when she saw my raw emotion, which of course was completely unplanned, she immediately felt empathy and she acted and she's like, we are going to make this happen, la la. So she was so supportive. After all that craziness, oh my God, I know this has been a lot, but I just needed, I've told this story many times and I've felt triggered at times, but I realized the more I tell it, the more I share with people with the intention to inspire and empower, the more I'm healing myself. Sometimes I'm sharing these stories that are highly vulnerable and I'm even scared of sharing them because we are always thinking of what would people think? I don't want to look like a victim. I don't want to people to feel pity. But then I have to remind myself, this is not about me. I want to utilize these stories, this podcast episode to truly inspire and serve people because in the most challenging moments of my life, that's what I've learned the most. And I'm so thankful for those challenging moments. And I want to share them with all of you as I'm going through them. I don't want to for 2 or 3 years to pass and then tell the story. I want to tell it just right now. So, I mean, you also understand that there are many people that know that I've been certified with a million skills and I have a million tools and I'm usually very calm, centered, and balanced. But it doesn't matter who you are, you're going to have tough situations in life. And in those tough situations in life, you're going to be in the place where you have to go back to the basics and apply everything you have been learning with even more intention. And that's where I was last week. And believe me, it was hard because my emotions were getting in the way and I was in pure survival mode. But I'm gonna tell you what I've learned. I'm gonna tell you what I would recommend when you are in stressful situations. To give you a status update, now, I mean, I took the weekend to rest. I just needed to integrate everything that was going on. Friday, initially, I had 2 clients. I had never in my life rescheduled clients like, I mean, like that, the same day. To me, that's a big no-no. But I needed to lead by example, and I truly needed to take care of my mental health, my physical health, and they were super understanding. And again, this is not something I've ever done, so they clearly understood that this was very urgent. But even that, I felt like, oh my God, I feel I'm disappointing them. Yeah, of course I wasn't. I know that because I would have done the same thing for them. If there is an emergency or medical anything, I'm like, take care of that. Your health is always first. I have a lot of moms with kids and sometimes they get sick out of nowhere or yesterday and they have to tell me the same day. I'm so flexible with that because I know health stuff can be very scary. I can help them with the mental, emotional, but the physical stuff, yeah, they need to take care of that first, to be honest with you. So yeah, I'm feeling this week, I'm feeling so much better. The pain, I think thanks to the injections, it is super healthy. The pain has significantly decreased. I do still have some swelling, but it's decreasing. And I'm just so thankful that I'm still here with all of you, let me tell you. Because life can be very uncertain, very uncertain. And there are many things that happen that are not under our control. I would say most things that happen are not within our control. But the most important thing, which is within our control, is how we respond to the situation. And that's the most important thing. That's the thing that we got to invest in. That's the thing that we got to focus on. And I see life as an ocean. I give this metaphor over and over. Some days are full of waves, high waves. The tide is high. And some days it's very calm, just like a lake. And one of the main lessons in life is how to ride those waves. It's learning how to ride those waves without expecting those waves to completely disappear. They're going to be there anyways. To learn to equip ourselves with the right tools to regulate ourselves spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically. And this was just the perfect situation, the perfect story to do that, right? And I'm using it here in this podcast episode to illustrate a couple of the concepts. So let's talk about how you can regulate your emotions and how I did in stressful situations. It doesn't have to be to that extreme of like, oh my God, I'm going to be alive today. It doesn't have to be that extreme. I'm talking about stressful situations related to work, to your husband, stressful situations because you're in your cycle, in that day of your menstruation that you feel like nothing is working out for you, right? That you're highly emotional. The first thing to remember and the first thing to know, and this is something that I've been learning more and more through the last few years that I've really had to process and integrate very challenging situations. Number one, if you don't face it, you suppress it. You gotta allow yourself to feel the unpleasant emotions with no judgment, without wanting to avoid it, but with pure acceptance. When you're there in those unpleasant feelings, what we tend to do is like wanting to avoid the situation, wanting to avoid the feeling. But the more we try avoiding that feeling, the more we attract it to us. I have this thing that I learned from Tony Robbins, is this quote, rejection creates obsession. The more you want to push it away, the more you tend to attract and linger that suffering. And I think facing those emotions and really, really giving presence to those emotions, presence is so healing. Imagine that you're struggling and then you go to a friend and you're telling this friend basically, how are you feeling? And that friend tells you, oh my God, no, I don't have time for you. Like that would be so detrimental for you in that moment. Don't be like that with yourself. Don't tell yourself like, oh no, this is happening again. Oh no, I don't want to face this. Treat yourself like a good friend would treat you. It would give you validation. It would tell you, hey, it's okay. This is temporary. And while this passes, because these two shall pass, while this passes, let's heal these unpleasant emotions through presence, so through your presence. So again, if you don't face it, you suppress it. I think it's so important. And I coach clients, right? Coaching is very action-oriented. You always want to go to a solution to how you can move forward. But the first step, I mean, believe me, I'm also an engineer turning to a coach. So I'm very solution-driven, okay? I like helping people get results. But the first step is to truly provide that safe space for those unpleasant emotions to heal. So I think practicing acceptance of what is without wishing the reality to be any different. And by the way, this is not a perfect process. I wished last week that my reality was different. And then I had to remind myself, their reality is this, what I'm going through right now. The more I resist it, the more I tend to suffer. So I'm going to practice right now just being in acceptance with these emotions, in acceptance with what is. And I think breathing is such a powerful tool that can bring you back to your body and your mind and can provide that presence that is truly going to heal you through these stressful moments. If this podcast episode resonates with you, I invite you to work with me in my private one-on-one coaching. Private one-on-one coaching is a 6-month container where I help you go from playing small, not believing in yourself, struggling with imposter syndrome, inconsistency, and indecisiveness, to actually having the clarity, the confidence, and the courage to follow through with your dreams. When you work with me as a private client, the first thing we do is that I guide you through an in-depth breakthrough session where we get very clear on all of the blind spots that have been preventing you from achieving your goals. We become aware of those and we release them at the subconscious level with proven techniques. I provide you with accountability, and I'm like a GPS for you to actually find the resources and the answers that are already within you, because you, my friend, are powerful. Kim, one of my coaching clients, said, through working with Janet, I've been able to radically shift my mindset in a way I never thought was possible. Each day I wake up feeling excited about my future and actually believing in my potential. So if you're ready to believe in your potential and take action and see progress with all of your dreams and goals you have been delaying, this is your time. I invite you to schedule a clarity call in the link in the show notes. I cannot wait to meet you. See you soon. This one is so important. This next one, find gratitude in the most stressful situations. During that process last week, again, believe me, I was like, these people, this medical system, like I'm a human being, okay? I'm not enlightened. But in those moments, I remember being so thankful that that cardiologist had found this serious condition that the emergency room hadn't. I was so grateful. Oh my God, I'm getting emotional. But I just see this cardiologist like my angel, you know, like there is always someone in your path that person is like such a big enabler. It can be a person, group of person, but there is something in your path that I think the universe or God places that even in the most challenging situations, there is something that gives you the certainty that everything will be okay. See, that's why I needed to record this podcast episode, to continue healing, to continue facing all the emotion of last week. And I remember thinking, man, I'm so thankful for this cardiologist, because thanks to him, I mean, yeah, this condition was found. Thanks to him, I started getting treatment. Thanks to him, I got the right dose. He came back over and over just trying to help me. And also being so thankful for my baby, of course, that is okay, but also for my body, for the capacity of the body to heal itself. Because even these injections are preventing the blood clot from growing or from separating. And the theory is that the body will take care of the blood clot. The body can heal itself. So just so thankful for this body. So thankful for my husband and my mom that they were there when I couldn't even walk. And I was so frustrated because I couldn't even walk well. And I'm like, what the heck? What is going on? And honestly, you know what I was thinking? I'm like, what about the athlete that he's an amazing athlete and he gets injured? And so many of them have the strength. I mean, they get depressed. Okay, it's normal, but they have the strength to go through that situation, get back and be an amazing athlete again. I was just thinking of all of these people that I've seen, even in shows, in podcast episodes, that they had some physical situation and they were able to get back. And I told myself, if those people did it, I can do it too. We have the same resources. We have our body, we have our mind, we have our spirit. We have this universal intelligence, God, universe, whatever you believe in, supporting us. I can do it too. And there was a slight second where I asked myself the question of why me? And I thought of a client that I've worked with. This is the third time we have been working together. She's amazing. She has experienced great results. That's why we are working together again. She has experienced great results. And a few weeks back, she brought me this question of like, sometimes I ask myself, why me? And it's so beautiful, this process, because sometimes your clients will bring you in the moment or before, after situations that you're also going through. And immediately I thought, why me? Because there is something here that I need to learn. I have this unwavering faith and belief that everything that happens in my life is happening for me, that in the most challenging moments of my life, there is a lesson to be learned. It's not going to feel unpleasant many times, but it's going to feel so pleasant whenever you get that lesson and you're applying it. And even this story, I'm using it to add value to all of you. There is always a silver lining. We just have to find it. Because focusing on the question of why me doesn't help anyone. Why me? Well, why you? Because you have to learn a lesson. There is a lesson here to be learned. That's the only way that I can think of answering that question. Why me sometimes is not that productive. Because in this process where it seems so challenging and it seems that there are obstacles in the way, we gotta keep that faith strong that things are gonna be okay. And I'm so thankful for my mom. She lives here with us, and my husband. But she has gone through crazy things, okay? Crazy things. She's just incredible. And the faith on something else, on the universe, on God, on that things are going to work out every single time. She always reminds me of that. I'm just so thankful for her. There is always a lesson to be learning everything that we face. And again, do not expect this process to be perfect or smooth. Believe me, when I got diagnosed with these blood clots, I didn't leave the office and I said, oh my God, thank you for this experience. No, I was not in that state. I was freaking the heck out. I just wanted to know that I was going to leave. That was my only worry at that moment. But as you go through it, okay, and still you're going through pain, you got to regulate yourself better. And I think, honestly, thinking that there has to be a lesson to be learned, that's why I'm facing that. It truly helps you regulate your emotions in stressful situations because it allows you to put those situations in a perspective and in a productive way that you can utilize moving forward. Practice having faith. That's the next one. Focus on what you want. I was just visualizing my body healing. I was praying, meditating, visualizing my body healing. And I thought to myself, I'm trying to get all this doctor support and treatment. What is within my control right now? My mindset, my faith, my belief. When nothing else is working, and even when things are working, I'm doing this, okay? But in that case that nothing else seems to work, I'm like, I gotta remind my essence. I'm a creator. I have the power to heal my body. I gotta go back to the roots, to the basics. And I think for me it has helped so much to tap into my spirituality. I'm a very spiritual person. I've always been since a kid in many ways. And I'm thankful that my mom is too. We are not strict on what we believe. I mean, if you see my desk, I have stones. I have a Buddha. I have a Mary. I have candles. I have everything. I believe in everything. I think we are all talking about the same thing with different labels, different names. That's my belief. And tapping into that spirituality that I'm always guided, that I'm never alone, was such a precious moment, a precious lesson, because I don't believe we are here by chance. I believe we are here for our souls to continue evolving, and these challenges truly helps us get the lessons to continue that evolution. The next lesson, I mean, I'm so thankful I had my husband and mom, but I also reached out to friends. I think these last 2 years that I've gone through very challenging situations, I've allowed myself to be vulnerable and let people in. compared to before that I'm like, oh, no one needs to know. I can do this myself. Now I open up my heart and I actually allow people to come in and to get me support or help, even if it's a text. I mean, I have a dear friend that she was calling me every single day. She's like, are you okay? Do you need anything? I'm going to Costco. Like, what do you need? I mean, every single day she was calling me. And that makes a difference. You feel cared. It's totally normal. We are tribal human beings. We are meant to be in community. We are meant to be connected. And getting a support system, it's so important. And the last one, which I mentioned before, you got to advocate for you. Oh my God. In this medical system, in the school system, in your work, I mean, in your relationship, within yourself, everywhere, you got to advocate for yourself because you are the only person that knows what's going on. And even though this doctor said it was an emergency, some doctors were not acting like it. Like, I was so confused and I'm like, no, like, I need this treatment like today. I think advocating for you and really believing the worthiness that, yeah, you deserve this was so important. And there have been 3 times in my life that I've been faced with death. I mean, not literally, but whenever I had the panic attack in 2014, I thought I was dying because my left arm went numb and I'm like, oh, I'm dying. And every time I face death in some way, there are so many beautiful lessons. And I wanted to talk to you about my evolution. That time in 2014, my first thought in my mind was the life I've been living, mainly related to my work, is one that I've been tolerating, not one that I've been creating. And to me, that was a breaking and awakening point for me to start taking control of my life, to start creating the career that I truly was passionate about, to start discovering my purpose and align my career and my life to what truly lights me up. That was back in 2014. My second encounter with death was when I had, I mean, in these last 2 years, right, we lost 3 family members, 3 of them very close to me. 2 of them was my uncle, my grandmother. My uncle was such a big sad moment for me, but also very awakening. And when I was faced with my uncle's death, the lesson for me was, what am I waiting for? I could die today. And that's when I decided to quit my successful 6-figure corporate job, which I really liked. This was not a job I hated or anything like that. But I decided to pursue this dream that I had been building in the background for the last 9 years and go full in into coaching and speaking, which was back in 2021. And then this time, I swear last week, I thought I was going to die. Or if I didn't get treatment, you know, you just go into survival mode and then this doctor is telling you the consequences. And anyways, all of that stuff, it's very overwhelming. But this time was different. Well, first of all, I definitely felt I didn't want to die. I definitely felt I wasn't ready. Okay, I want to be very clear with that. And my second thought, let me get another Kleenex here. My second thought, which I was grateful for and I'm still grateful for, was if I die today, I'm very happy with all the decisions I've made, I'm making. I'm very happy and aligned with the life I'm living. I'm truly living my dream. When it comes to coaching people, speaking, helping people evolve, you know what I mean? Helping people fulfill their potential. I'm just very happy. I'm very happy with how much effort and commitment I've put into the relationship with my husband, which, I mean, relationships are not easy peasy. There is a lot of work, a lot of teamwork, and we have evolved so much. And I think the third one is going to make me cry. Like, you guys are making me cry in this episode. No, I'm joking. You guys are there listening and I'm here, like, kind of like being emotional. But the third one was, because my mom lives with me. I mean, she has been with me my whole life, literally. We have been together most of our lives. And I was proud of the daughter that I've been to her. Very proud. Like, I know I've been an amazing daughter. Anyway, so I think that was really good because, again, I didn't want to die in my mind, but if I did, I said, I'm very aligned. I mean, I still have a lot of things to do, but I'm very aligned with where I'm at in life. And I'm telling you this because, I mean, 2014, I was completely misaligned. So many things can change in just years if you truly invest in yourself, in getting to know yourself, in getting to know your path, and just aligning everything in your life with who you truly are. Relationships, career, friends, people, family members. So important. So I hope, I know this was a lot, everyone. So thank you so much for providing me this safe space to be here with you and to truly share this story, because you listening is also helping me heal through everything that has happened last week. And of course, my body is still healing. Healing from this can be a process, hopefully a smooth one moving forward. But I'm just so thankful for all of you, so thankful for this platform, so thankful for you tuning in. And if this episode was inspiring, if this episode empowered you to truly start regulating your emotions in stressful times, but also step into your truth, step into your power, even when things seem so chaotic and so uncertain. If this episode did that for you, please share it with a friend, with your family members. My purpose here on earth is to help you guys to truly fulfill your potential, to truly be fulfilled, successful in the way of whatever that means to you. So again, thank you so much for joining me another amazing week. And I cannot wait to connect with you again next week. Thank you. Bye-bye. Thank you so much for listening at With Clarity and Purpose. I really hope you enjoyed today's episode. Sharing is caring. Please share with your friends and family so we can continue building an empowered community together. I'll see you next week.